This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham, and I've got Rod Mullins on the line. We're going to talk NASCAR and specifically the big weekend at Bristol, and Rod was on the scene there for us. He was on the pavement, pounding the pavement for us down there in Bristol. And so, Rod, I'll let you start. Tell us about Bristol. Take us through the big race on Saturday night, but give us the highlights of Bristol this past weekend.
Well, I guess if I'm really going to say anything, I think this past weekend's Bristol race is probably one of the best ones I've covered here in the last couple of years. It had all the excitement. It had a lot of different scenarios going on in it. The thing that we were talking about the most, and a lot of people were talking about, Denny Hamlin having the pole, but everybody else was talking about the young Matt Benedetto, who had went in on Friday evening, had qualified, and then ended up qualifying seventh, which was just unheard of. It had been unheard of for him, but he really went out there. He took over the track, and when he did, he came away with a seventh-place qualifying run, and then at that point, he ran consistently all night and then had a chance to win the race with probably about 11 or 12 laps left to go before Denny Hamlin, who rebounded back from some unfortunate happenings in the early part of the race, was able to bounce back and get back into it, and then he took over the lead and ended up winning the race. But we saw a lot of things happen in this race. We saw Jimmy Johnson, who has been a perennial playoff contender year after year. He has fallen even further back in the playoffs now. He finished dead last the other night. It was not a good night for him whatsoever. You had Kevin Harvick. Harvick actually was the one that finished last. Jimmy Johnson did finish in the race, but he just did not have a good night whatsoever. Kevin Harvick ended up losing a transmission, a clutch. They parked it for the night. Usually Bristol's one of his favorite tracks, and he didn't do as well as he had hoped he would. And so there were just so many things going on with this race. And then you had the situation that was going on with Matt DiBenedetto, who came out after the car. He came out of the car, and he's just absolutely crying his head off. And to me, more than anything else, Saturday night's race, I think, in my own opinion, I think demonstrated what NASCAR is all about. It kind of got past this thing of what we've been thinking of these drivers as being superheroes and put up on a pedestal, and we saw the actual human emotion that we're supposed to see in NASCAR racing. And I think we saw it with Matt DiBenedetto the other night. And so I think it was one of the best races that I've seen in quite a while. There were three grooves of racing. Sometimes people would go high. Sometimes people would stay in the middle part of the track. A lot of the time, most everybody kind of stayed low in the low part of the groove. Clean racing altogether. There was some banging and some bumping occasionally with some of the drivers, but they knew that they had to get through Bristol, and this was going to be a big race for them to come out with the cars in one piece occasionally, unlike the past where it's been nothing more than a demolition derby.
23 lead changes, as you wrote about in your post-race wrap on Augusta Free Press. And, yeah, you talked about the strategy, the different racing lines, and I imagine weather may have played, when I say weather, like the changing conditions on a night race with the temperature cooling may have had, was that a factor there? Or what were some of the reasons for, that sort of changing track conditions as the race went on?
A lot of that is the weather. And then the second thing is that PJ1 compound that Bristol Motor Speedway has been using. Michigan used it the week before, and then they're talking about using the PJ1 compound also, I think, coming up to Phoenix. It's going to be later on in the season. But that PJ1 compound is one of those things that it depends on how the weather is going to be. Like in the spring race, mostly you get down there and you're coming around the track, the tires, and everything starts heating up on the track. It carries on the tires, and then the drivers are able to go and kind of use it, kind of like my version of what I think it is, of sort of like stick 'em. They're able to go around the track, and they're able to hold on the higher part of the track, and they spread that PJ1 compound where it's pretty much all over the track, and then everybody has a chance to be able to have a group. And the weather did play a part in that. It was very hot on Saturday. It did get a lot of exposure. I know it baked some of that PJ1 compound, but just as soon as the sun went down, Those tires really had to go and pick up temperatures and those cars going around through there in order to carry it up the track. And I think it did its job. But it played a very big role in the race on Saturday night.
Okay, so you talked about the winner. You talked about some of the top finishers. You also mentioned the name Jimmy Johnson. Let's talk about Jimmy Johnson. Where do things go from here for him? At lap 83, he got in a little dust up. He and Austin Dillon and Hamlin. So Johnson obviously struggling again. He's got two races left. Is there a chance? Is there a window for him to qualify for the playoffs?
There's going to have to be a window. He's going to have to make a window. He's going to have to take that plain wall of what's left, and he's going to have to be able to go and cut his way and make a window to get into the playoffs. But he's got these two big tracks coming up, and that's going to be Darlington. Darlington's going to be one of the tougher tracks that he has to race. You know, they don't call it the Lady in Black for nothing. And, I mean, before you're up on it, you know, you're up on the wall. You see that wall, it's a little bit too late by that time for you to be able to correct and get back onto the track, because that wall will eat a car alive. I mean, it'll just tear the sides of it completely off. But Johnson he's had good success at Darlington in the past, but he has not has been successful maybe as some of the other drivers have been, and some of the, I guess, drivers that have been more accustomed to Darlington over the years. But, you know, he's got to throw this window wide open this coming weekend, and this is all throwback weekend, and he needs to reach in that bag and pull out some magic of his old throwback days and come up with something that's going to be able to get the fans going. Because one of the things that I heard and saw down at Bristol on Saturday night was a lot of tweets and a lot of things that were put on social media, and people begging almost to the point Hendrick Motorsports to kick Johnson out and put Matt DiBenedetto in the car. Now, that's not going to happen. But there are fans right now that are becoming very upset, and, you know, they think that Johnson has just become complacent over time, and they're wanting to change. I don't know if we're going to see a change because he's fine with Kendrick Motorsports through 2020. But, you know, he really has to do something with this race. He's got to do something at the Brickyard also in order to get into this race, because now, if I'm not mistaken, I think 37 points back now from what he was, or maybe a little bit more, and he's got to cover some ground in these upcoming races, that one on Labor Day weekend at Darlington, and then the one at the Brickyard the following week.
Clint Bowyer finished seventh in Saturday night's race. What's the next couple of weeks like for him, and is this that something for him to build on?
It's something for him to build on. The picture Clint Bowyer is somebody that's going to go and look at the situation with Jimmy Johnson. And he's going to eventually look at it that, you know, hey, I'm out of the point margin here, an even greater amount than what Jimmy Johnson is, when he's really only within striking distance of it. That's the kind of racer Clint Bowyer is going to be. He's going to really apply himself the next couple of races and get in there. You know, a good finish at seventh. He had a chance, you know, to maybe do something else on Saturday night, but it just wasn't in the cards for him. Like I said, Stuart Haas did not have a lot of good success the other night. I know that Eric Almirola, he also had a wreck. He was gone by that time. Beck Boyer, he had Daniel Suarez still in there. Harvick was already out. Things did not look good for Stuart Haas the other night, but Boyer did manage to salvage that seventh place finish, and he's within reach of getting those points to SED.
Yeah, you mentioned Harvick. How disappointing a night for him. He led 28 laps. The mechanical issues. What was he talking about after the race with the media folks?
He was just disappointed. He was disappointed more than anything else that clutch failed. He had a good car. I was watching him go around the track there in the early part of this race, and you know, I said, you know, Harvick's going to be maybe contending here toward at least midway, and could, if he's able to hold that car together, keep it to where he could maybe win this race at the very end. But when that clutch went out, that mechanical failure on the part of that entire engine, it wasn't good. And Harvick was just very disappointed at it. You know, he's in there. I mean, he's in the mix for everything right now. But you don't want to start going into the playoffs and things start breaking and things not going well. Unlike what we were hearing at the media center with Joe Gibbs and also with Denny Hamlin's crew chief, they feel like right now things are starting to come into play for that team right now, and they've been going well all season. It's just been a matter of fact of capitalizing, and that's what they did on Saturday night. They capitalized on the situation. And Joe Gibbs even said something else before Denny Hamlin came into the media center on Saturday night. He said, Denny Hamlin has changed. Denny has changed as, you know, an individual. And he's coming across now as someone that is a more serious, a more dedicated driver. And then Hamlin later confirmed it to everybody else. He said, you know, I've been actually having to talk with somebody that's like a golf psychologist. And they don't, you know, really have anybody in the racing realm, but he went and talked to someone and, you know, started examining what he needed to change and how he needed to change things. And I think it made a difference for Hamlin.
I have to ask about something that happened before the race that it had something to do with the race. Dale Earnhardt Jr., traveling on his way to help call the race for NBC Sports. We've all seen, a lot of us have seen the pictures, the video, the frightening images of a plane crash involving Earnhardt and his family. He walked away. They all walked away. But it obviously could have been tragic. Give us whatever you have from Bristol on that. What was the talk in the garage, in the media center? Anything you can share on the Dale Earnhardt Jr. situation?
Well, I think a lot of people were mostly in shock from everything that happened over the weekend there with Denny Hamlin, with Dale Earnhardt in the crash. Denny Hamlin had also expressed, you know, he was very concerned about it. Kyle Busch, you know, usually he's one of these that gets out there and he tells everybody, nah, wasn't worried about anything. The ego kind of sticks in everybody's paw, so to speak. He was very concerned about Dale Earnhardt Jr. after they got news that the plane had crashed. I spoke with NASCAR representative Samantha Zarek, and she told me that there was a hush in the media center once that announcement had been made. But at about 3:40, some of the NASCAR people knew what was going on, and the track officials knew what was going on. But the rest of the media did not know what had taken place in Elizabethton Municipal Airport. And so it was one of those things of like, it almost brought back a deja vu, so to speak, yeah, of when Alan Kulwicki died back, you know, almost 26 years ago. It was one of those things that just scared a lot of people. And then when he came out of it, he was just very, you know, he was very thankful. I think he released a statement first of the week and told everybody, first responders, I'm very happy. You know, we're very thankful we got out of this and so forth. And, you know, all of your kindness and your prayers and everything are going to be well remembered for the future.
Yeah, it's just Alan Kulwicki also, even that wasn't a plane crash, his father, of course, dying in a race at the Daytona 500. I mean, it's, you know, these kind of tragedies hit. And fortunately, he walked away, so it wasn't the tragedy it could have been. So NASCAR takes the week off, I guess, after all that bumping in Bristol, and I think you put it last week, Rod, sort of like, you know, it's like trying to drive an airplane through a small room or something like that. They got to take a week off because they have to rest the brains after Bristol's over. Return to Darlington next weekend. So I guess it's also a chance to prepare for the stretch run. A lot of folks have a lot of work to do. We've talked about some of them. Anybody else we haven't talked about who has, you know, the next couple for whom the next couple of weeks are really crucial heading into the playoffs?
Yeah, it's a vital time for them, and it comes at a good stretch, especially for some of these drivers who are going to have that week off in order to be able to rest and get focused on what they need to. And it's also going to be important for the team. Teams are going to have to get focused on what they need to do to get themselves ready for, you know, some of the front-running drivers that's right now competing for the championship or at least get into the playoff. I don't think they're going to change too much. They're going to kind of keep the way they've been going here. But you've got drivers that are out to prove a point. And again, I'm back to Matt DiBenedetto. You know, after we saw that race that he ran on Saturday night at Bristol, he proved to a lot of people he can drive. It's also giving people a chance along the line to kind of see, okay, where is he going to materialize? Where is he going to come about being in a race team for next year? There's still a lot of silly season things that are going to be taking place over the next several weeks, even into the final stretches up to November. So you've got drivers there that are going to be looking for rides. Daniel Hemric could be looking for a ride for next year. They're going to be trying to get out there and show what they're capable of doing one way or the other. And, you know, DiBenedetto was one of those, and then Hemric is another. I really can't rule out Eric Jones. Eric Jones is trying to go and prove that he can still win some races. He's won one so far, but he's looking to win a couple more races. He's wanting to look good if they move him over to Levine Family Racing. If they want to move him over to that team, he wants to look good for them coming in. You're just going to have some differences in the way that things have been conducted. Some people are going to be looking at playoff picture, like Jimmy Johnson, what do we have to do to be in contention? Others are going to be like, okay, let's just take it easy here for a second, keep ourselves focused on what we need to do, sort of like what Denny Hamlin and Joe Gibbs Racing is doing, keep ourselves focused on what the prize is, and that's what we've got to shoot for this coming weekend. You know, it doesn't hurt when you've got the former coach of the Washington Redskins as your team owner, and, you know, he keeps you in the know. And I mean, that's one of the things that just blew me away about him in the media center this time around, as opposed to years past when he's been in there with Kyle Busch. He came in there so calm, and he was just so complimentary of Denny Hamlin. And, of course, J.D. Gibbs had a love for Denny Hamlin that just nobody really knows. He's the guy that gave Denny Hamlin his big break in the racing. So if Denny Hamlin feels like, you know, he owes Joe Gibbs something, and that's what they're trying to do for the championship.
Well, NASCAR's got this weekend off, Ron, so we'll let you have the weekend off as well. We'll get you back on the podcast next week, talk some more NASCAR. Thanks for your time.
All right. Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks.